Blog Talk Radio.
Each and every day I will seek your face.
Thank you for tuning into YouSWAT Radio. Stay tuned for a special message from Leighborn Breland.
Want to work for a kingdom organization? Have regular phone and internet access? Have a creative mind? Willing to give God your best? Congratulations! You are qualified to join our team. Campaigns initiatives including our Theological Institute, missions, and more. Our team of governance in finance and administration. Our team of IT-market involving information technology and marketing operations. Help spread the gospel globally. Urban Glory Campaigns is a faith-based corporation for global leadership. Our organization aims to minister to industries, communities, congregations, and cultures that do not look to the organization because of its religious background, but to the principles taught by our founder that reaches the very hearts of mankind regardless of religious, political or socioeconomic backgrounds. With deep-rooted convictions, our message is a provoker of change. Experience the glory.
Hello, radio listeners. This is Selena Olivia, host of Spirit Straight Talk Radio and president of Urban Glory Campaigns. On behalf of LaVon Breland, the founder of Urban Glory Campaigns, I want to personally extend an invitation to join our team. Call our Human Resource Office today at 641-715-3800, extension 2966445. That number again is 641-715-3800, extension 2966445.
Attention Maryland, D.C., and Virginia residents. The last two Wednesdays of every month, Urban Glory Campaign's biblical focus group, the Rhema Group, meets at 7 p.m. Dominion Academy with Selena Olivia for training and discussion in foundational truths. And Ambassador Academies with Urban Glory Campaign's ecclesiastical leader, LaVon Breland, with training for ministry leaders. Check us out online at www.myspace.com/RGRU. That's www.myspace.com/RGRU. Or call us at 641-715-3800, extension 91120. The Rhema Group, Revelation Unveiled.
Well, good evening. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm glad that you're listening, and if you're listening by internet and you need to get off the internet for some reason, you can always dial 646-595-4877. Again, that number is 646-595-4877. And thank you for listening to the broadcast tonight. I'm delighted that we're continuing our conference on visionary leadership and training visionaries has been an honor and a privilege thus far. We're going to continue to further with the two lessons that we are aimed at achieving tonight. I do depend on the Holy Spirit, and I would ask that if you have not been listening to this broadcast, welcome, and that you would get a notebook specific to this particular broadcast. As you will see, I have a systematic flow to the study on this particular broadcast, giving 5 points, 3 sub-points that support the outline of this lesson. Generally, when I'm dealing with biblical and theological discourse, I will have a variety of scriptures to give scriptural support under two or three witnesses, let everything be established. However, because we're dealing with visionary teaching and leadership development in this particular set of lessons, I think it's appropriate that I deal with you in a spiritual complex, however, in a business fashion. So I will not be going through a chapter and verse discourse. However, if you listen to me keenly, you will find that every particular principle that I'm giving will lead you back to the Prince of Peace, the Holy Spirit, that has enlightened us as to the tools that are necessary to achieve success in building vision. If you would listen to these and take time to download them on our website, you will find that this information will be vital to stimulating creativity and how to focus your creativity to achieve God-ordained success. And that's what I'm always doing in my discourse. So let's look to the Lord and get him involved. Again, we have two lessons tonight that I believe is going to bless you and going to empower you as a visionary. So let's look to the Father and get the Holy Spirit involved in tonight's lesson. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day, knowing that this is the day that you have made, and I will rejoice and are glad. I thank you for another opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth. I do lean to the Holy Spirit as educator and guide to give me clear articulation of speech, deliberation of thought, and continuity of subjectivity as I boldly make known the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus and the principles which were entrusted into me by the Holy Spirit to convey to your precious people as to the importance of establishing visionary leadership and leaders that possesses visions that are God ordained. I do ask that the Holy Spirit will enlighten the ears that are anointed to hear what thus saith the Lord on behalf of the church to the body at large tonight. And I thank you, Lord, that you alone will get all the praise, honor, and glory for the things that are accomplished and revealed. It is in the name of Jesus that we do pray and give you glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen. We've been talking about vision, vision as it pertains to kingdom building. And in the next month, in October, we're going to be discussing an in-depth discussion on Kingdom Business Institute, what it means to be about the kingdom business. And so I've kind of highlighted and given you little nuggets to prep you for the discourse of the future. However, I think it's important that we keep abreast of the things which we've discussed since the first lesson. And this is lesson 3 of Visionary Institute. I think it's important that you understand that as it pertains to the church, there's only one person who contains the vision for the church, and that is the Lord Jesus. It is Jesus' church in whom he has relegated and delegated his authority as the only authority that determines the vision in which God entrusted him with to carry out. And that vision has lasted throughout the continuum of time. And I think it's important that we always, when we're conveying as ministers of the gospel, remember that it is the Lord's church, and it is upon the revelation in which the Lord entrusted Peter that we even connect with that vision, which was locked within the Lord Jesus and the revelation of the Lord Jesus, that establishes the basis to connect yourself to his vision. So we do not try to improve the Lord's vision by inserting our own objectives and manipulation. We come in congruency and in connection with the scriptures that depict to us specifically the things that are designated and relegated for the overall church. And those things can be outlined by chapter and verse. We do not need to infringe upon the authority of the Lord Jesus' capability to lead his church based on what God has enlightened his eyes for. And if we would solely comply with the things in which the scripture has depicted for him to govern his church, we will find that the church will flourish and will grow in the fashion by which the Lord Jesus established it, in the power of the Holy Spirit. With that being said, do we need visionaries to lead the church? Absolutely not. We have one. We need obedient people, people who are willing to be obedient. However, if for the sake of his kingdom, he has given us dominion, and dominion give us the governing right to establish kingdom expansive all over the earth in which he has given to the children of men. And as a result of us being focused and allowing the concept in which the Lord Jesus prayed, thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we will see a group of people who has set aside a purpose to pursue after the things which God has invested in their sacred vocation, come out with a manifestation of visions that will magnify the kingdom of God and the authority by which we stand. We will not have disrespect when we allow divine effect. And divine effect will come when we respect the authority in which God has relegated for the earth to comply with. The Holy Spirit has been sent as a guide to lead us into the truth that we need to know in order to exist as a vision that does not conflict with the commission that embodies the vision of the church at large. It is possible when we are focused on thy will be done, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So we've talked for several weeks now on the importance of vision. We talked about having mental maps for visions. And we also last week concluded on us commanding a high peak of solution orientation, that when we have purpose in our hearts to be solution oriented, there will be five commands that comes out of our position. The first being one of self-introspection, to make sure that we are in sync with the will of God. And then strategic focus, which will give us the energy needed to maintain, thirdly, our standardized scholastics achieved in what we perceive based on the revelation of the vision that God has given us. And then fourthly, when we have a revelation, it will make us a fixed or steadfast in the maintaining of the command of solution orientation that commands the vision to manifest. And then fifthly, in order to achieve this particular effort in maintaining a solution orientation, we will have to have a high peak performance of selflessness. And remember that solution orientation does not negate or does not connotate, rather, just positive thinking, because part of vision development may explore how you can create change in a negative situation. And it might be that negative situation that sparks the need to see and to perceive a vision. So we need to make sure that when we are solution-oriented, that we are oriented on the basis of complying with the vision and what the vision commands us to do. And tonight's lesson, we pick up from this phrase by introducing a new concept, which is the perception that derives destiny to discipline. Destiny is the manifestation of the activation of a vision that is in view. When a person achieves a vision and has developed steadfastness and self-introspection and a focus and standardized scholastics and a degree of selflessness, you will see that their perception derives to a point of destiny. It's for destiny's sake that demands of me a greater need to function beyond the norm to achieve what I believe is a vision for me to vocate. And so in that, there are several things that we need to do in order to achieve this destiny to discipline. And number one, discipline to actualize a vision will come as a result of an embedded pursuit to achieving purpose, true purpose. It will come as a result of an embedded pursuit to achieving true purpose. Purpose is inevitable when you begin to dialogue and to dissect the value of a vision. And vision demands purpose. For in the purpose, it gives credence to what you have perceived by the source which has enlightened your mind. And so, purpose is realized when perception is charged to conclude standards with truth as a resolve. When you begin to go after things for purpose sake, you realize that perception needs to be charged with a conclusion that standards are the determining factor that have derived from the truth and the resolve that I've perceived. And when you have resolved yourself to have truth based on what you have perceived, based on the source that you have derived your vision from, then you will find that purpose has a place. And many times when people go after dreams, they negate the essential ingredient to that dream, which is purpose. Purpose. There are purposes for everything under the sun, the scripture says, that enlightens us in Ecclesiastes. And so we must learn as believers how to, and the difference between a dream and a vision is simple. A dream is capsulized in a person's ability to perceive in their sleep state. When a person dreams, they have the capability of perception even while they rest. And as believers, we see dreams because we're in a constant state of rest. And that rest is afforded the privilege and the grace of God to perceive revelation from God even when we're sleeping. Why? Because the Lord never sleeps nor slumbers. And purpose demands a resolve of embedded pursuit to achieving truth and resolve. And so purpose provokes perception to achieve the power to perform, and the performance is hope toward fulfillment. Everything that purpose provokes intends to be capsulized in power to perform. Purpose always rises you to call yourself to an action that demands a hope to be fulfilled. And that's why when a person has a vision, and a true vision, there is something embedded in them that enables them to perform for the sake of the vision. And a lot of times when people say they have a vision and they do not act in correlation to that vision, it's because there's no power allotted to that vision. And so that vision may not be derived from the source of the one who enables vision. And of course, I said this before, the reason why you see a lot of successful businesses secularly is because they are motivated by a spirit that people have allotted power to perform it through. And so you can see businesses successful because the source the source can only be a spirit. It's not determined by whether it's divine or demonic, but it is essential that as believers we need to guarantee that we are led exclusively by the Holy Spirit. And that's also accomplished and capitalized under salvation. When a person is in sync with the Spirit of God, they're one with him, and so therefore our source is always the same. And so purpose provokes perception to achieve power to perform, and the performance is hope to rock fulfillment. And then true purpose is given by and in the perpetual presence of God. And that's why we must always pursue God's presence to achieve true purpose. And that purpose is based on the discipline we have determined to actualize based on our destiny. Our destiny's source is the vision which God has revealed. And so number two, discipline is actualized in a vision that will come as a result of the capability to organize thoughts into actions and actions into profits and provisions. See, thoughts are the ingredients to action. You need to think about it, because as a man thinketh in his heart, so Izzy. The ability to think is a grace that God has given us. For it is he that causes us to will, the scripture says, and do his good pleasure. And I'm glad that I am joined with the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a result of my joining, there is an excellence, there is an intelligence, there is a capability that is stored in the inside of me that creates the strength and the fortitude to achieve purpose. And that purpose will cause me to achieve organized thoughts into profits and provisions. Organization skills is maximized in learning and listening skills, which in turn gives insight on how to take what we learn and hear to steps of action. So the better you learn and the better you listen will fortify you with the strength to take the steps necessary to based on what you've learned and what you've listened to. That's why it's important that when you want to check to see how credible a person's sight is, you check their hearing. So that their hearing, because faith comes by hearing and the hearing by the word of God, how can they hear? You can determine a person's capability and their vision based on divine sovereignty if their hearing is in sync with the vision which they perceive from God. When you begin to allow God to enlighten your eyes, he will also enlighten your ears. And those enlightened ears will create organization skills. Organized thoughts is a result of confidence in your ability to chart purpose and time, which defines your property. Again, organized thoughts are a result of confidence in your ability to chart purpose and time, which defines your priorities. And so when you're organized, you recognize what to prioritize, which is what will actualize the things that are vision of, because vision equals provision and profit. Anything that is pro the vision is provision. And anything that will bring profitable dividends will be as a result of a vision being embedded in the courses of action. And that's why we need to learn how to empower our thought life and learn by listening and demanding that the environment in which we exist in is conducive for us to grasp and perceive divine wisdom from God, creativity from connected others, and the power of the Holy Spirit to have free course in whatever dimension necessary. And when we have these things in place, we will see our destiny derived from our discipline. Because discipline has a embedded pursuit to achieving purpose, and it has actions that transform itself into profits and provisions. Thirdly, discipline to actualize a vision will come as a result of exercising priorities and patterns that shapes and promotes their legacy. And legacy is the root of destiny, and destiny is the root of vision. And so we must understand these things. We must understand that pattern priorities are given go-ahead that possesses the capacity to step-by-step forms of solutions. And, of course, you know we already talked about solutions in the last lesson, which must have self-introspection, a strategic focus, standardized scholastic, steadfastness, and a degree of selflessness. So when we're given the go-ahead, it possesses the capacity to form steps, and those steps are solution-oriented. So solutions are the building blocks of steps. That's the steps that we're talking about, that we have achieved a degree of selflessness, that we have had steadfastness based on standardized scholastic and a strategic focus that derives from self-introspection, that as we look within, we develop a focus, we develop scholastic insight, and as a result of us learning and understanding, we had a steadfastness that was so selfless that it produced a self a step and a building block to achieve a solution. So pattern priorities are knowledge-based and in time-sensitive enabling focuses and thought will measure what is exactly needed to complete goals for legacy's sake. And legacy's sake has a high degree of selflessness. It has a high degree of patterned priority, that these things are organized, that these things are congruent, that they are synthetic, they are synchronized in a time format to achieve a solution based on the steps of a solution orientation. And so pattern priorities are knowledge-based, time-sensitive, enabling focus and thought to measure what exactly is needed to complete the goals for legacy. And when pattern priorities are activated, it creates confidence and endurance, which empowers communication if presented with conflicts. And we got to understand that conflicts are not set to devastate the crafting of vision, but it is set to strengthen the communication that is needed to achieve the exercising of pattern priorities that shapes and promotes legacy. And fourthly, discipline to activate a vision will come as a result of constantly reviewing and discovering means to generate effective communication and change. This is a communication world. We thrive through faith. We understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which were seen were made by things that do not appear. We need to master the art of communication. And as we become open to the Holy Spirit, who leads and guides us into all truth, he will enlighten our eyes and our ears to comprehend and to attain the know-how based on the truth that he has led us to achieve the priorities and the discipline that drives our destiny based on the source of our vision. And so reviewing and discovering means to generate effective communication and change are necessary. Remember that the discovery of new mechanisms of change is what ultimately exposes the vision to subject matter experts to making the vision a reality. Now, let me talk there a little bit, because what we're saying here is that communication will derive based on an observation and an introspection and a discovery of a means to generate effectiveness. That means we have to have eyes that are keenly alert to achieving, based on the focus and the mental mapping and the solution orientation, and now the discipline that drives our destiny to fulfillment. When we have these things locked in place, we will begin to communicate in a way that keenly alerts out there. See, we've counted the cost. We've considered our ways. We've examined the outcome. We've developed a degree of selflessness, and we've demanded that discipline take the place to prioritize purpose and to achieve the exercising of pattern priorities. And as a result, we have organized thoughts and actions that gain profits and provision, and now it focuses us and forces communication to create change and necessary changes. And those changes are discovered in new mechanisms of change that ultimately exposes the vision. Communication is what exposes your vision. When you get to the point of communicating, that means you're ready for your vision to be exposed. And when you're ready for your vision to be exposed, it should be because you have mentally mapped some things out. You have developed a solution orientation frame of thought that drives discipline to your destiny. And if that is not the case, you don't need to be voicing a vision, because you will lose confidence in the heat of your communication. And your communication is pivotal to the activation of your vision. And that's what's happening. People are getting attacked on their communication because they have not taken a time of true mapping these things out mentally. They have not become solution-oriented, and therefore there's no discipline set. And so when they go to communicate, people can conflict your vision because of the fact that your communication is not based on keen evidences of change that are necessary based on your discipline and your drive to your destiny. And that's why you can see organizations achieve high peaks of performance and never compliance to legacy and continuum and destiny. So this is important to us as believers. We need to take some serious measures to charting focus and exercising priorities, and then also reviewing and discovering means for change and excellent communication. These things are essential. Because reviewing courses of actions strengthen communication skills. It helps you also form creative introspection that keeps the vision focused. See, when you're reviewing your courses of action, it strengthens your communication. Because it begins to set things in order. See, true visions demand a degree of order, and that degree of order strives from someone who's dedicated to being disciplined, because they have their destiny in view. So when you're given a vision, make sure that you're disciplined. And that's the key ingredient to success. Jesus, when he came about walking to his disciples, he was so determined, he was so driven by his destiny, that everywhere he went, it commanded communication. Who is this man? What manner of man is this? Whom even the seas and the winds obey him, the scripture enlightens us to. These questions should be probed at us when we go after activating visions and driving our destiny to discipline. This is the key to manifesting true vision. And so most of what you possess within a vision are heartfelt convictions. So when you place a demand on communication and change, your vision will achieve discipline. Discipline. So discipline to actualize a vision, finally, will come as a result of placing value and an utter determination to endure despite successes and failures. Don't forget, Marsha Sumner's a famous radio host of a Christian radio at one time, said to me one time, don't get stuck on successes. Take them as honor and move on. But keep your focus. Be alert. Be ready to achieve even more. Don't get stuck on your failures and your mistakes. Move on. Keep going. The race is not given to the swift nor the fast, but he who endures, the scripture says, to the end. Keep going. Endurance is an essential to the promotion of the legacy the vision has, and it wrought effective communication again. So temporal successes and failures do not define legacy, legacy's continuum through time. But discipline does. A determination to be disciplined will drive your vision to eternity. Determination is the true and authentic force to discipline and see discipline excel in one's life. Master dialogues with the Holy Spirit as to how to strictly obey the voice of God. One of the advantages that we have as believers embedded in God's spirit is the wisdom and the wherewithal to win every time. And as a result of us dialoguing with the Holy Spirit, we learn how God reasons. We learn how God thinks. We learn how God empowers his own to achieve thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Discipline. The perception that drives destiny is discipline. Discipline. Well, I believe that lesson helps us understand the intent of God's heart and God's nature. And I think as you begin to grow in the things of God, you will begin to see how God places a demand on us to comply. Scripture lets us know, endure as a soldier. A soldier has trained himself to comply with the discipline that is expected of him based on the agenda that he has committed his life to. Whether it be the Constitution or the allegiance of whatever renegade he has dedicated himself to, he has disciplined himself based on his dedication to a vision. And we in the sacred vocation must embody this concept, especially when it pertains to the church. And this is what I have not seen, particularly in congregations. I've seen a lot of ministers and pastors and those who've been entrusted in whatever rank they have declared themselves to be. I have seen them attempt to manipulate their means of operating and exercising a presumed and perceived authority. And authority is not assumed, nor is it ordained. Authority is embedded in the vision by which the Lord has relegated toward you in a word that we rarely hear now in the church called predestination. And of course, you know, the Lord charged me this year to become a diligent doctrinal instructor, so involved in the doctrines of God. And part of the doctrines of better promises is attained in the doctrine of predestination. And vision reinforces the doctrine of predestination. One of the easiest things to study when you're teaching vision, especially for ministers, is understand that everyone who's entrusted to God and has been given and you have been given stewardship to assist in them achieving their God-given potentials and state are embedded with predestined steps. And if you're so in tune with God, my goodness, it's something. I was talking to a prophet of God this morning, and they were encouraging me as a leader in the church to remain faithful to his people. And part of that faithfulness is attained in the selfless pursuit in achieving the vision in which the Lord has committed me stewardship over. When you're a person of a vision, embedded in achieving God's vision for his church, you understand that the people who God has allowed you to cross paths with and they have committed themselves in means of membership, leadership, partnership, are ultimately predestined by God. And when you start dealing in the laws and the doctrines of predestination, you become more sensitive to what you use as means of manipulation. You should never use flattery and manipulation to distort people's predestined path, because you are co-laborers with God. And you should not dare try to distort God's initial purpose for their lives. And I don't see men and women after that vein of thought as it pertains to the pastorate and to the congregation of the church. And so I think this is essential also for ministers when they dare indulge in the vocation of ministry. Because if you have your own agenda, you're going to ultimately Well, you can't distort people's predestined path, because God will kill you first before he allows you to tamper and to hamper with God's people. He will. He will totally demolish you from getting in the way of people's destiny. So the way to do this is to resolve to solely embody God's vision when it pertains to ministry. Now, when it pertains to your life and your functioning, you can have whatever vision you want to achieve as long as it complies with the will of God for your life. But don't get confused in the concept of the church's vision, because it's embedded in the authority of Jesus Christ, not your authority. Your authority is only based on your ability and your willingness to be a steward over what God has entrusted. And if God has entrusted his people, he has a degree and a standard for the gift in which he has embedded in you for you to comply with. And if you're not going after that reason that is stipulated in the scripture, according to Ephesians, then you have messed up. And you need to resign. I don't care what position you're in. Comply with God's will. Let God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And when that's the case, then you will see, and if God permits that you stay in position, and you have the opportunity to correct the errors of your ways, don't ever allow it to happen again. I kept hearing this week, often when people try to achieve second chances, you know, I often think about the devil. The devil messed up, or he was messed up several times. He didn't have a second chance. We have confused the quality of repentance, and so people have used that to manipulate and saying you can begin again. And yes, God can restore you into order, but part of that restoration is correction. And a lot of people have not allowed God to correct them, and that's why God will not validate their calling, because their vision or their stewardship is not congruent with the steadfastness needed to achieve the vision for the church. So God is not going to put his precious people with people who don't have a high degree of selflessness. And that selflessness ultimately disciplines is a degree of selflessness and compliance to the vision that's in authority. And you cannot teach true authority if you're not under authority. And those of you who are pastors, if your church does not know that you are compliant with the will of God and with the commission of the Lord Jesus Christ, then your authority is in question. And it's a danger to sit under your governing when you are not set on complying with God's will for his church. That's why he strengthened my voice in this particular area of dialogue with you, to reexamine the nature of vision. And yes, those of you who are in the secular vocation, you can benefit from these trainings. Yes, you can. But it's more to it than this. You have to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus to achieve the actual manifestation of a vision that I'm talking about. The Holy Spirit is the intelligence of God. God is all-knowing, all-wise, omnipotent, omniscient, always present. He's alert. He's apt. He neither sleeps nor slumbers. His strength is without end. That's who we dialogue with. That's who we go before on a consistent basis to achieve vision. Amen. Well, before I get into the second part of this lesson, or the fourth lesson of this study, I want to remind you that Vision Institute will be on all month on the USWAT radio program on Tuesdays and Thursdays, our new times at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can listen by internet, or you can listen by phone. And if you're listening by internet, if you need to get off the internet for some reason, you can always dial 646-595-4877. Again, that number is 646-595-4877. Business Institutes are next month, or Kingdom Business Institute is next month, all month in October. So we'll have 12 to 14 parts. This particular series will be 12 parts, so I want you to keep listening, because we have some essential truth, and we're going to keep expanding this vision. I believe you will never be the same as a result of the word proclaimed. And again, business leadership study with the president and myself are also available. And in November, we're going to be dealing with 21 irrefutable laws of leadership. You can get the book in advance. Go on Amazon.com, purchase the book, or go on John Maxwell's website. Get the book. I'm telling you, it's an investment in your life that will help you build your leadership. And so this year, we really focused on Leadership Development Institute, and we've had the Visionary Institute, and now with the Kingdom Business Institute coming up and doing the 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership, when we get into the subject matter of next year, you're going to be a successful business person about the Kingdom agenda. And I think the next institute is really going to help you see the advantages of establishing yourself in God's kingdom. And so business leadership, and then, of course, you know, the president will be on that. Also, you can join our team on our website. There's a new banner on the top of our Blog Talk Radio program. Click on that and get information. It'll link you to our website on how you can get involved, and you can dial the information number on there and get information about how to join our team. There are many avenues and many blessings to being a part of the Urban Glory Campaign's community of faith. And so I would encourage you to look at our website, find the links out, pass the word, let everybody know that we're on Tuesdays and Thursdays at 10 p.m. to 12 p.m., and we give ourselves that time to go over some essential tools for kingdom building, for the word of God, for ministers of the gospel. This is not intended for the fundamentals of the faith. We do have a web internet program that is dedicated to that. It's called the Spirit Straight Talk, where we give relevant information for new believers, for those who are dealing with issues in their lives that need to be confronted. We have straight talks for men and women. And we have programs, and those programs are going to be increasing. So you can look on our sister station, Spirit Straight Talk Radio, headed by our president. She's given a new focus for the year, and I think it would behoove you to get a part of that as well. If you would like to financially support Urban Glory Campaign, there's a link on this broadcast profile as well as the main webpage of our organization. Also, in advance, I want to encourage all of you that are ministers of the gospel to join covenant with me and to connect with me. We have fellowships and conference calls and material that we're going to be releasing. Come 2010, we're going to have about 500 people. I'm believing God for 500 dedicated covenant-bound ministers, and you're going to be blessed by this particular broadcast. Not only this broadcast, but other material that is not allotted on this broadcast will be available to the ministers of the gospel that are committed to our National Assembly of Urban Worship Leaders, those who are dedicated to worshiping God in spirit and in truth, called to the ministry, called to the music ministry, called to be a minstrel of the Lord Jesus Christ, called to be a communicator of the gospel, called to be an instructor of theology, those areas. If you are excited and you would like to be involved in our organization, I would encourage you to look at our website, join our web link, get involved, find out information about our National Assembly Urban Worship Leaders. As you do know, with the elevation of my consecration to the office of an elder, there are many advantages and many opportunities that I have this year coming up, and so I want you to look at our calendar of information and our website to find out what's going on. I would also put a plug in for one of my mentors, Dr. Nassar. Vicki is going to be in the Bethesda area. If you look on his website, wisdomministries.org, you will find out where he will be. Look at his Dr. Siddiqui's itinerary. He will be in town, and if you are determined to be there on the 20th through the 22nd, you will see me there listening and learning and gleaning from the Word of God, and that might be an opportunity for you to covenant with me. So I would encourage you to continue to listen to the broadcast. We will give you information as to the course of things that are imperative to the development of the church. Amen. So those are the announcements for tonight, and we're going to get into lesson four. I'm excited about this particular study, and I encourage you to download it. We went from a single lesson to two lessons each night because we want to use as much of the time as God has graced us with to communicate to you the precious and the unadulterated Word of God. And I believe that the Word of God is enlightened with the principles of God that has been shared abroad and given revelation insight to our eyes based on the illumination that is allotted through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit is enlightening me to reveal things about business and about vision and leadership. And I think it will behoove you to take notes and to get a separate notebook for this particular organization. So if you're listening by phone or by internet, you need to get off the internet for some reason, please dial 646-595-4877. Again, that's 646-595-4877. Well, let's ask the Holy Spirit again to get involved in the next part of the fourth lesson of the Visionary Institute. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this day, knowing that this is the day that you have made, and I rejoice and are glad. I do thank you for another opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth. I do depend on the Holy Spirit as educator and guide to give me clear articulation of speech, deliberation of thought, continuity of subjectivity as I fearlessly make known the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I do lean to the Holy Spirit as educator and guide and depend on him to have his own way and to say what only he can say in the strength and the power that is afforded to me by his precious Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for your assistance tonight. As Father, as we invoke your word and invoke your principles concerning your word and concerning your people, you alone will get all the praise, honor, and glory for the things that shall be accomplished and the things that shall be revealed. It is in the name that is above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus, that we do praise you and give you glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen. In the last lesson, we talked about driving destiny to discipline. And when we do so, we will achieve a pursuit to achieve a true purpose, a body of organized thoughts that achieves profits and provision and action, and the exercising of priorities and patterns that shape and promote legacy, and then means to generate effective communication and change. And, of course, it will achieve an utter determination to endure despite success and failure. Which brings me to my next thought about visions. Visions must be value-centered communication, must be predicated on value-centered communication. And I want to kind of go back into communication because, again, communication is what evolves your vision into strategy. It brings it to life in the eyes of another. And it's important that we develop superior communication. And you know, what I find intriguing about Christianity and intriguing about traditional religious institutes is how we tend to nullify and downplay the intelligence of the Holy Ghost. And one of the things that the Lord prompted me to do in this particular ministry is to enforce and to promote the intelligence of the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm a tongue talker. I'm a charismatic. I'm a enthusiastic, emotional, I'm not emotionally driven, but emotionally stimulated believer. But I'm disciplined and I'm intelligent. And I use my cognition and my cognitive development as a force that drives the value of God's Spirit to communicate and articulate the purpose of my vocation in a manner that does not disrespect the intelligence and the credence and the authenticity and the sovereignty of God. And as I begin to communicate on the things of God and on behalf of God, God would use the means by which he fashioned his earth, in which he created humanity, in which he created our cognition, and use it for my good, to wrought the plans that he has purposed so I can get in congruency with his concept that Jesus conveyed in his declaration to the Father that thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And it is important for me to remind you constantly in this particular teaching, as it pertains to the church, there is one vision in which we are to be steadfastly stewards and dedicated to as men of God and women of God and those who have been entrusted with his kingdom's agenda. And that is when it pertains to the church, that we will not manipulate our personal vision in the roles that we have conveyed and reserved as a means for for the proper authority that has been relegated to us to exemplify leadership within the church. That means this: we do not manipulate and use manners and methods to make our vision a means to manage his church, because he is the visionary of his church, the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus was given the vision to extend the kingdom of our Lord, or our Lord, Father God, as it is in heaven on earth. And we are taking up that commission, that mission that's based on the vision of the Lord Jesus and establishing his church. And it is not who men say that he is, but it's based on the revelation that we have attained, just like Peter did. And upon that revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, God builds his church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. So the vision of the church is embedded. The vision of the church is absolute. The vision of the church needs no alterations. The vision of the church just simply needs obedience and compliance to the voice of God. And when we know his voice, we will not be astray and like sheep that are gone its own way, tossed and driven by every wind of doctrine. But we are keen because we know his voice, and the voice of another we will not follow. And when we allow this to take place, we will begin to see value-centered communication. Why? Because we have allowed mental mapping to occur because of the vision. We've allowed us to become solution-oriented because of the vision, and we have developed a drive that drives destiny to discipline, and our discipline creates value-centered communication. And so we talked about the five things that discipline achieves: a pursuit to purpose, organized thoughts that provide profit and provision, exercising a pattern priority, generations of necessary effective communication and change, which gives us determination. And so, number one, value-centered communications are analyzed values that have been processed and rehearsed to stimulate interest toward a vision. So when I talk about value-centered are analyzed values. Again, it brings us back to what we learned as being solution-oriented, to have a sense of introspection that promotes strategic focus, that also creates standardized scholastics, which affords steadfastness and achieves selflessness. And then the discipline that has a pursuit to achieving purpose attains the organization to actions that provokes provision and profit, that exercises patterns of priorities as a means to generate effective change for communication, so that is determined based on our determination to be value-centered. And so value-centered communications are analyzed values that have been processed and rehearsed to stimulate interest towards the vision. And so values for vision, say, are core beliefs that are void of selfish ambition and affirmed through globalization and cultural enhancement. And so why? Because we have the excellency of a power that is not of us, but it is the gift of God, so it might bring glory to God. And that glory to God gives the concern for the love of God that is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost that makes us love one another. And in that love toward one another, there's a global unity that is around. Blessed are those that are in unity. It's like the anointing on Aaron's beard that runs all the way down to his skirts, that causes blessings to be made known abundantly among all those who unify with us. And so when we begin to operate based on our value, and our values are not based on core beliefs that are full of selfish ambition, but they're affirmed through globalization and cultural enhancement, we will see value come about in ways that will create legacy for the vision, that will create solution orientation and mental map and discipline that drives our destiny to fulfill these communications. And so value must be centered so that communication can develop a systematic set of success and order. That's why it's important that we have superior communication skills. And one of the things that the Word of God, when the based the communication that was set up over 2,000 years ago causes us to be affirmed in our faith today. If it wasn't for the dedication of people having value-centered communication, we would not know the glorious riches that are afforded abundantly to us through Jesus Christ. So imagine if they inserted their selfish ambition. The scripture would not say that men, as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost only testifies what has been delegated and delegated based on the authority of the Lord Jesus. And Jesus doesn't even possess his own will. He said, I'm not here to do my own will, but the will of the one who sent me. So if Jesus follows that same pursuit and the Holy Spirit follows that same pursuit, we must also set our values to have core beliefs that are not full of selfish ambition, but affirmed through globalization and cultural enhancement that must be centered so that communication can develop systematic success and order. Values that transform communication are as a result of order being the final authority. Why? Because we see that communication strengthens through systematic resolve. As systematic resolve derives from order, putting things in the right place at the right time, synchronizing. That's what we talked about, capsulizing destiny into discipline, charting purpose, and purpose will cause priorities, and priorities will measure profits and provisions. Why? Because they're for the vision. And so that vision, when the vision is actualized in purpose, and purpose is actualized in priorities, it will measure what time is needed to perform, and then those performances will achieve success and profits. So values that transform communication are as a result of order being the final authority. We're orderly people. And God said, let everything be done in decency and in order. This does not conflict with Scripture. When you deal with vision, you said you've gotten to a point that when you desire to expose it, it's because you've developed enough discipline, solution, orientation, and mental matter that conveys the order and the intent of God based on your source that has enlightened you to achieve the successes that you are determined to reveal. And that's how you know you really have a God-ordained vision. And remember, not all visions are God-ordained. That's why you can see successful vision, but they always, time will tell, because this time factor is under the guise of God. God is not limited to time. We are. That's why it says, Lord, teach us to number our days and apply our heart unto what? Unto wisdom, the right application of knowledge. We must develop value-centered communication. Number two, value-centered communication considers actions before involving communication stimulation concerning a vision. So it considers actions before involving communication. And that's one of the things I wanted to talk to you about, and I think this is a pivotal point in discussing and dialoguing on vision. You need to understand that before you communicate anything, you need to take consideration. Consideration. Don't always expose every vision that has been illuminated, because you might not be mature enough to actualize the vision yet. You might need to work on your character a little more, and in your consideration, it will always revisit the value of your character, because your character is at stake when your vision is exposed. And so consideration of actions are the counting of costs for legacy and continuum sake. So actions should measure the knowledge base of the subject matter experts you consider to trust and to confide your trust in the development communication concerning the vision. This is another point that I think is pivotal to this dialogue. You don't trust everybody with the communication of your vision. And so that consideration should take place before you act. Because when you go to communicate your vision, you want to communicate your vision to people that is worth it, that have a certain degree of knowledge to run with the vision that you have organized and stipulated for this dispensation. We are all dispensationalists. We are people who master the creativity to seize opportunities in time. We are dispensationalists. And we must learn how to convey, and consideration kind of halts the value of our communication concerning our vision. Because it says before you expose the value of your vision, you will consider and count the cost. Is it worth the people I convey it to? This is what causes your vision to grow. Are these people worth your time? Why go around communicating a vision that people are not willing to achieve? And that's why if we are this steadfast pertaining to the stipulations of the scripture as it pertains to the vision for the church, it will be easy to raise churches, because you will easily identify and be able to identify those who are for the vision of the Lord Jesus. And one of the barometers or the litmus test to true authentic people who are dedicated to the vision of the church are those who are compliant to the final authority of His word, that are taking consideration that when they acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ, they take upon His cross, they take upon His burden, they take upon His sacrifice for the sake of the actualization of His kingdom that He died for. And that's what we're not seeing in the church, and that's why it seems like the church is a failure. But I come to tell you that the gates of hell shall not prevail. So there are many congregations, but there are few churches. Because churches are predicated on the vision for which they have developed and maintained their steadfast. So action should measure the knowledge base of the subject matter experts. You confide trust to develop. See, you have to be able to confide trust. And if you cannot confide trust in the people who you develop communication concerning your vision with, then your communication for your vision is not value-based. It's not value-centered. And so consideration of actions is the validity seen when others can follow suit at will and succeed. It also shows that vision is value-based around empowering people. Why? Because you only look for people who you can entrust the value of your communication with. So the value-centered communication, number three, spares knowledge for high-peak function. There we go, function. That's that word again, function. And if you listen to the Leadership Institute, when we gave you a comprehensive definition of leadership, we also discussed how function exists and how you can determine when function exists. And I would encourage you to revisit that and download that or purchase it at your will for a nominal fee on our website. So high peak function is created in the sphere of focused vision. The vision sees time as a tool and peoples as the depths of wells of treasure. Why? Because I have a span of knowledge for high peak function. Why? Because, like I said in section two, I've considered actions before involving communication. So when I consider actions, I develop knowledge of how to span for function's sake. See, I want my vision to function, so I have to develop a sphere of focus. And focus is the key root to function. So knowledge of function will enforce wisdom in performance. What is wisdom? The ability to apply knowledge at will in performance and manpower, reducing unnecessary risk and labor. So what will happen when your vision is focused based on function that's based on knowledge, and knowledge spanning, then what happens is the work becomes easy because it's knowledgeable, and the manpower becomes effective. Why? Because the enlightenment of your eyes have provoked the knowledge of your mind and the enlightenment and the illumination of what you heard. You made an environment conducive for knowledge base to derive function sake and high peak performances. So high peak expectation places a demand to make keen decisions that determines what knowledge is essential for the vision. So number four, vision-centered communication collaborates effective communication before attempting to prevent or reduce conflicts that attempts to delay the manifestation of a vision. And this again, consideration will produce collaboration. And that collaboration is based on your confiding trust to people who are subject matter experts. The subject is what? The vision, so they are vision-based. So collaboration will focus what is worth voicing corrections at times to complete and at times complete avoidance will yield a more strength than defeat. So what I'm saying in this particular point is that when you collaborate before you communicate with those who you consider worthy to confide the value of your vision, you will find out that before you voice correction, you'll collaborate, you'll talk about it. And then and majority and a lot of the time, not addressing unnecessary communications or unnecessary conflicts is empowering the communication that's superior to you addressing those little issues. Why? Because you're value-centered in your communication. Is it worth the value of you correcting it? So conflicts may yield needed change so superior that listening skills will be dependent and demanded of you. And that could be the determining factor needed for necessary change. So sometimes conflict will yield the collaboration of superior listening skills, which means you can't always address everything that seems to be a conflict, because some things that seem to be a conflict may have the necessary change for you to achieve success for your vision. So communication will never collapse to a conflict when transparency is always in effect. We need to understand this. Why? Because, see, when we've allowed truth and the leading of the Holy Spirit to guide us, we will see that conflicts will never collapse our communication. They will always bring either necessary change or we'll avoid the whole source of the conflict because it's not worth the value of our communication. That's based on the value of our vision. Why? Because we're value-centered when we speak. We're organized. We've rehearsed this. We've set and embedded the story within our communication as it pertains to our ministry. It's like playing and stopping the tape because it's already set. It's already focused. So finally, vision-centered communication is empowered when leadership is dedicated to divine devotion and prayer. I want you to illuminate your concept on prayer for real and devotion toward God. So just religion, the traditions of men make the word of God of none effect. So the effect of God's word should empower your prayer life, and the effect of God's word should empower your devotion toward the things of God. So devotion and prayer are key ingredients to creative genius, to vision promotion and expansion as it pertains to the believer. Why? Because we understand communicating with the Holy Spirit is communication with the intelligence of God. And think about how genius he was when he created the world. And so when we communicate to God, we ascertain his communication. We come because his ways are not our ways, his thoughts are not our thoughts. And the only way we can get our ways to be his ways and our thoughts to be his thoughts is if we come up and let's reason with him. To not things on things on earth, but let this mind be in us, which is also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to come up with God, to communicate with God. So that's what stimulates a focus on our prayer and the priorities of our prayer and our devotion. When you find a person doesn't place a demand on their prayer and devotion toward the things of God, it's because they're not value-centered concerning the vision that God has predestined for their life. So then you have to go back to the doctrine of predestination to make sure they understand that you've been brought here for a purpose. You're not pursuing after your purpose because you're not communicating to the one who, because why do you seek God? Scripture says Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans and thoughts I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you, to give you a hope and expectation in the future, according to the Amplified Translation. No manipulation of the scripture. But it goes for the same aspect of this particular teaching. You will not have centered, value-centered communication when vision-centered communication, when this occurs. Why? Because the values are in place. So devotion and prayer are the key ingredients needed to create genius to the vision and promotion of expansion. There is no greater communication strength than the power of the Holy Spirit. That's not a religious rhetoric here. For the believer and for those who profess to be one with the Lord Jesus, you need to understand you have an advantage over this world, and that is that you are embedded with power. Power to cause you to align yourself with sovereignty to achieve success every time. This is the victory that overcomes the world, the scripture says, even our faith, 1 John 5:4. And so leadership that thrives in prayer and devotion, compliance will emit a communication that will make the vision appear always divine, in a divine manner, in a divine fashion. That's why when you find someone is embedded in vision, you will find that their attitude and their willingness to convey their vision is almost godly. Just straight godliness manifested. The scripture says that the whole world travails. It quivers at the notion of the manifestation of God's Son reaching maturity and achieving success based on their faith. And we need to keep that in the forefront of our thinking and our thought life as it pertains to our vision. Well, you know, I've discussed with you two pivotal lessons in this particular teaching. One being the perception that provokes destiny to discipline. And then also valued-centered communication that achieves actualization of the vision. And, you know, we're putting together a genius correlation of communication tools to set your mind focused to achieving the vision in which God has entrusted you. Now, ministry is one aspect that is fixed and affirmed through the Lord Jesus, and all you have to do is obey and maintain your steadfastness toward the things that the scriptures stipulate as the vision for the church. But when it comes to your personal life, you follow the pattern of the scripture that relies all empowerment and enlightenment based on the blessing which he has blessed you with, all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And heavenly places is the sphere of the presence of God, and the presence of God is the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God affords us access into geniusness. Amen. Well, I've given you a lot of information, and I pray in prayer and devotion there will be a consideration to revelation, and that God will give you inspiration that causes manifestation in your life. It's been a blessing to be with you tonight. I believe that whatever you set your hands to do, you will do, because greater is he that lives within you than he that is within the world. This is LaVon Vreeland, the founder of Urban Glory Campaign, host of USWAT Radio. Have a good night. And I'll see you on Thursday's broadcast. Bye-bye.